Welcome to the Gay Buddhist Forum, where teachers from all schools of Buddhism offer their perspectives on the Dharma and its application in modern times, especially for LGBTQI audiences. These talks are offered freely to the world and made possible by appreciative listeners. If you would like to support our efforts to share the Dharma with underserved audiences, please visit gaybuddhist.org. There you can donate, find a list of upcoming speakers, or enjoy many hundreds of these recorded talks dating back to 1996.
It's our tradition to go around the room before we hear from our speaker, say our names. I'll go ahead and begin. My name is Roy.
My name is Michael.
I'm Juan.
Francisco.
I'm Greg.
My name is Prasada Chitta.
My name is Mark.
I'm Richard.
Don.
Jen.
Joe.
I'm Dick.
My name is Lee.
I'm Brad.
I'm Michael.
I'm David.
I'm George.
My name is Richard.
My name is Joseva.
I'm Marvin.
Daniel.
Zach.
Leor.
My name is Kat.
Paul.
I'm Gary.
Grisha.
I'm Jim.
I'm Hal.
Peter.
My name is Joe.
Jay.
Mark.
My name is Myron.
John.
Jonathan.
My name is Gary.
Thank you. Gary Oast is a retired Episcopal priest living in San Francisco. He began his study of the Dharma in 2008, starting with the Shambhala School of Tibetan Buddhism. Since then, he has practiced daily Shamatha Vipassana meditation. He recently declared his aspiration to help Christians understand Buddhism better and Buddhists to understand Christianity better. Gary has taken informal bodhisattva vows and is studying the Lojong teachings of the 11th century Tibetan monk Atisha. Out of those teachings, he is currently exploring the transformative psychological effect of Tonglen, a personalized mantra practice accompanied by taking in and sending out the breath. He would like to share some of the benefits of this practice today. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. Nervous and alone, warm faces here together. Nervous and alone, warm faces here together. Nervous and alone, warm faces here together. That was a demonstration of Tonglen, and I will return to more examples in a little bit after I talk about the way Tonglen is organized. And I'm also going to be inviting you to try it out for 5 or 10 minutes. When I first came to the Dharma, I read somewhere, perhaps in a Pema Chodron book, because I read a lot of her then, I still do actually, about a new meditator who came to an abbot. It was actually a new monk. So he had great aspirations for being a great monk, and he came to the abbot and confessed mightily that he was having a very difficult time learning how to do insight meditation, and was not able to relax to follow the breath. His mind was all over the place, and his emotions were involved. And the abbot smiled and said to him, "Well, you know, for some people, it's a good idea to set aside insight meditation for a while. Perhaps do one of the bodhicitta exercises, like the four heavenly mind states, sending out loving kindness and compassion and empathetic joy and equanimity." He said, "I think a year would be a good idea." And then he smiled. And he said, "And in your case, I think it would be best if you just sent it to yourself, not anybody else." I needed that. And I also thought back to the invitation that I received a long time ago from the abbot at Green Gulch Farm. One time when I was with a group of visiting Christians, the abbot introduced us to sitting meditation, and the very last thing he said was, "And remember, don't just do something, sit there." My feelings have been strong. But I finally got what my therapist, as well as my spiritual director, have been saying to me for some time. The storylines the young version of Gary had created to survive in an uncertain environment were appropriate for a 6-year-old, but maybe not so much so for a 60-plus-year-old. But before I could revise them, I needed to see clearly. I needed to see them clearly, my emotions. And that meant feeling them fully, or, as Pema says, getting to know them well, making friends with them. And I began to discover the practical ways Buddhists have of transforming our strong habitual patterns. I am so appreciative of how practical the Dharma is. I love that the first noble truth is just, there is suffering. It amazes me how many times I'll be going through a day grinding down, not happy, and not even realizing I'm not happy. And suddenly I'll say, wait a minute. This is the first noble truth. This is suffering. Suffering is. It is not a mistake. It's not a defect. And I'm not alone. It's just suffering. And then there's the second noble truth. There are causes of suffering. So you don't need to stay stuck there. You can start asking, well, what is behind this suffering? And you begin unlayering what are the things that you're suffering from. And very often it gets down to some pretty basic stuff, going all the way to the body, the first foundation of mindfulness, as David Lewis has been teaching us. There is a way, the Buddha said, to be free of suffering, and that's the third noble truth. And then the fourth noble truth is basically, I think, an invitation to just examine what the Buddha discovered as he was looking at how can we unlayer the suffering and be free of it. The Eightfold Path in the Four Noble Truths to me is an invitation. You know, when I first heard about the Eightfold Path, my mind just shut off. I went, okay, one more list. I've had enough lists in Christianity. And then I began to discover it was almost a joke with Buddhism. List after list after list. I appreciate the fact that from an oral tradition, lists became mnemonic devices. And now I deeply appreciate the fact that the Buddha was primarily a psychologist and a teacher. So the things that he listed had great meaning to him, and he sincerely meant to share them with all of the people who were listening. So I've had to admit that putting into practice the steps that the lists of Buddhism advise has actually reduced, bottom line, my suffering. And I feel like I'm beginning to be more sane, both in my relationship with myself and my relationship with others. So as I began to relax with that invitation with the lists, I found out that there are some other practices among the lists of practices. And one of them was Tonglen. T-O-N-G-L-E-N. Tonglen is a part of the 7 points of mind training, organized around 59 slogans or proverbs, formulated in Tibet in the 12th century by Chekhova Yeshe Dorje, or just Chekhova. The 59 slogans form a very skillful set of antidotes to the bad mental habits, neuroses, and fixed ideas that cause us so much suffering. The 59 slogans are organized into the 7 points of mind training. I'm not going to go through the 7 points of mind training. I will mention two of them by name. If you are interested, I have created a bibliography, and you can actually find books on the 7 points of mind training. Actually, I want to point out a couple of them right now. Pema's book on Tonglen is very helpful, and I have discovered her book called Always Maintain a Joyful Mind, which goes through the 59 slogans day by day with a commentary for each one of them, is also wonderful, helpful. And the word slogan is on my mind because for my birthday, I'm about to ask my friends to go and buy me some slogan cards, which you can get to just arbitrarily draw a slogan out for the day. It's sort of like a Buddhist version of... Sorry, I'm having a mind moment.
Tarot.
Yes, Buddhist Tarot. Imagine being a young person in Tibet, learning the 59 slogans from an early age, and learning what the commentary was for each one of those slogans, so that when, from time to time, they would come across an event in life that was disturbing, they would remember a slogan and all of the help that that slogan would bring to dealing with their problem. There are four preliminaries to the 59 slogans, and these I will share with you. The four preliminaries are also called the four reminders. The first reminder is maintain an awareness of the preciousness of human life. The second reminder is be aware of the reality that life ends, death comes for everyone. The third reminder is recall that whatever you do has a result. What goes around comes around, the law of karma. And the fourth reminder is contemplate that as long as you are too focused on self-importance and too caught up in thinking about how you are good or bad, you'll suffer. Obsessing about getting what you want and avoiding what you don't want does not result in happiness. Buddhist children memorize these. And that, as a matter of fact, is called the first slogan. And it's also the first of the 7 points. Preliminaries. The preliminaries are the four reminders. First, train in the preliminaries. And children then recall the four reminders. I should get so good. In point two, formal practices, which is also called training in bodhicitta, we come to the introduction of Tonglen. All of the slogans in point two, all 10 of them, are divided between two teachings called the two foundations of Tonglen, the teaching on absolute bodhicitta and the teaching on relative bodhicitta. I'm sure you've heard the word bodhicitta, a very important concept in Buddhist practice, which becomes actually the backdrop to the entire practice of Tonglen. Sanskrit bodhicitta, mind, heart of awakening, probably can be translated best an awakened heart and mind, sometimes translated the Buddha nature. In Tonglen, it is discussed in terms of absolute bodhicitta and relative bodhicitta. The first foundation of Tonglen is absolute bodhicitta, which is basically the open, groundless, and ungraspable quality of all that exists. It's similar somehow to the notion of shunyata, emptiness. But many people think that a better word than emptiness would be openness. So if you can imagine that what surrounds us everywhere is openness, is absolute openness, some form of absolute warmth, then perhaps you can get a feeling for what absolute bodhicitta is. Mm-hmm. It will become important in a moment, because the first step in the technique of Tonglen is to do what they call flashing absolute bodhicitta. Relative bodhicitta is the second foundation of Tonglen. Relative bodhicitta is that basic human warmth that arises out of the openness of absolute bodhicitta. Relative bodhicitta contains the qualities of metta, loving kindness, compassion, and wisdom. Slogans 7 through 10 are about relative bodhicitta. So slogan 1 is first train in the preliminaries. Slogans 2 through 6 are about absolute bodhicitta. And slogans 7 through 10 are about relative bodhicitta. Slogan 7. Sending and taking should be practiced alternately. These two should ride the breath. In Tonglen, you send out happiness on the breath, and you take in suffering on the breath. But to make clear what Buddhism teaches consistently, which is you cannot be compassionate toward others until you are compassionate toward yourself, the last of the slogans in point 2, slogan 10, says, begin the sequence of sending and taking with yourself. So those two slogans are the bookends for the discussion about Tonglen. Sending and taking should be practiced alternately. These two should ride the breath. Begin the sequence of sending and taking with yourself. So, where the rubber hits the pavement is, what are you feeling right now? Whatever pain that you are feeling, whatever pain you ever feel, are we not always feeling pain? What pain are you feeling right now? Whatever pain you feel, take it in, wishing for all beings to be free of it. Whatever pleasure you feel, send it out, wishing for all beings to have that pleasure. The practice is for the individual, but it also is for all of us. In fact, it allows for communication on a deep and effective level. We begin to look at the faces and listen to the voices of others in a new way. It's called the exchange. Not just the exchange of breath, but the exchange of pleasure and the exchange of suffering. I am you, expanding the circle of compassion, which is relative bodhicitta. So there are two foci in Tonglen. Compassion for yourself, making friends with every part of myself. Compassion for others, opening up communication or connecting with everybody. But we still don't know what the technique is of Tonglen. So once again, a list. There are two practices of Tonglen, formal practice and on-the-spot practice. The formal practice of Tonglen is what you do on your meditation cushion or chair, and it can be done as a group, which we're going to practice in a little bit. There are four stages to doing Tonglen as a formal meditation practice. One, flashing a sense of absolute bodhicitta. The first stage, flashing a sense of openness, absolute bodhicitta, lasts for only a second. It's sort of to set a mindset. One of the Lojong slogans says, rest in the nature of alaya. Alaya is the essence. It's the Sanskrit word for that which cannot be dissolved. The essence. Non-dissolution. That which is indissoluble. So for a moment you flash, what is there for all of us? Recognizing that a lot of space is always available to us at any moment. Absolute bodhicitta is a little bit like the blue sky. So obviously today you can't see the blue sky, but we know where the blue sky is. The purpose of this stage is to connect with a larger view of things. When you are practicing with a group, you can flash openness and rest your mind when you hear the sound of the bell, for example. So it only lasts a second. The step of flashing openness is so brief that in some ways it reminds us that it is only a part of our breathing in and out. It is like the very essence of life. We connect with the possibility of being open and not closed down. Stage two. In stage two, we begin to get into the rhythm of the exchange. We will be breathing in and breathing out, and we will synchronize the in-breath with the qualities of suffering. The qualities of suffering that they're talking about at this stage two are called the texture of your experience. Very often, the texture of the experience of suffering is a feeling of claustrophobia or stuckness. With the out-breath, we begin to practice the qualities of freshness and spaciousness. So, you might consider the technique of using a mantra while breathing in and breathing out. What Pema suggests is the mantra, dark, heavy, hot, while breathing in the texture of your suffering emotions. Dark, heavy, hot. And then on the out-breath, bright, light, cool. It sounds manipulative. It sounds, in some ways, corny. But I want to invite you, when we do it together, to actually try it for a few seconds. When you breathe in, think about or say, dark, heavy, hot. The feeling I'm having in my body is dark, heavy, hot. And then on the out-breath, to say, bright, light, cool. I'm sending it out. Do you begin to see that the wisdom of this method is counterintuitive to the way that we are taught in the West to deal with negative emotions? We are taught to breathe in the positive and then to expel the negative. But Tonglen says, no, breathe in the dark, heavy, hot. Then breathe out the bright, light, cool. And then finally we come to the third stage. The third stage involves working with a particular situation, one that is personal and real for you, and using it to develop further compassion. This is about starting with what you are feeling right now in the present moment. So in a moment we're going to be stopping and I'm going to be asking you to identify how you're feeling. You're encouraged to use anything that comes up for you right now as an object of Tonglen right now. And here's a blessed thing about it. You may discover after doing the technique for a couple minutes that you're not getting anywhere. You're not feeling a release. You're not feeling the bright light cool. In fact, you're feeling, another crummy feeling, another stuck feeling, which is a way of saying, well, the first one was just to remind you that there's something underneath that. You're unlayering. You're getting down to what's really going on. When you start working with a personal issue, it is important to remember that you are not practicing for yourself alone. You are breathing in for all of us. And you are expelling. You are sending out, not just for yourself, but for all of us. When you breathe in, identify the storyline that goes with the feeling that you have. At the beginning, the storyline puts you in touch with some naked energy. So the storyline is useful. For example, it's Mother's Day. Do you have any storylines about your mother? About your relationship with your mother? When we stop to do formal Tonglen, perhaps you could start there. But we don't stop with the storyline. We find the energy that is underneath that, some palpable quality in your body. And that's when you start to invent, you create your own slogan, your own mantra for the taking in. Here are some examples. I have a storyline with strong feelings about being abandoned. Many people do. But current day experiences can trigger a strong emotional response that feels like claustrophobia and even nausea. I discovered that it helps when I say these words: afraid and alone. And on the out-breath, I'm here, step by step. Afraid and alone. I'm here, step by step. So you begin with a storyline. Something happens that makes you feel like you've always felt, I'm abandoned once again. Starting with the storyline, you go beneath the storyline to the feelings in your body. Afraid and alone. When the out-breath expresses the blessing that you want to send yourself, think of the positive affirmation that you have within you to say to yourself, I'm here for myself, and I can do this step by step. I do not need to be perfect. This will take a while. It's okay. Afraid and alone, I'm here step by step. I invite you to, when you do this, to do it for an entire sit of 5 or 10 minutes, the same mantra if you can, and just discover what the impact is of doing that. I have a related storyline with strong feelings about how I am responsible every time I feel abandoned. I discovered it helps when I think, displease them, they'll leave me. I'm here step by step. This is the rhythm. Displease them, and they'll leave me. And I feel it in my body. I feel the dark, heavy, hot. I'm here, step by step. Bright, light, cool. A third example, I discovered that I have a storyline that is the source of two different kinds of suffering in my life, depending on how I play it. I happen to be attached to being a hero. But what I get from this is a sense of entitlement to feel better than and alone when I am successful, and then a sense of entitlement to feel sorry for myself, like tragically flawed hero deserving pity stuff, when I fail. And I get really down with either scenario. So I invented this Tonglen mantra. Hero and entitled. And I had to really feel what that felt like. To own that, yes, I have always wanted to be here. I want to be better than everybody else in this room. I want to be patted on the back for having succeeded. I want to be the most successful. Hero and entitled. Falling no ground. And now I need to explain what the words falling no ground mean to me. Perhaps you've heard this story about a time when Chogyam Trungpa was speaking to a group of people, and it wasn't even about this topic, but he stopped in the middle of his talk and looked at everybody and said, "The bad news is you're falling through air with nothing to hold on to and no parachute. The good news is there's no ground." So when I am feeling the dark, heavy pot of hero and entitled, to say to myself, falling, no ground, is to remind myself to lighten up. Don't take yourself so seriously. Do these examples help? Do you have any questions at this point? Are you ready to try the practice time? Okay, first I need to tell you about the fourth stage. Stage four, you universalize the practice. You recognize and appreciate that the pain that you are currently feeling is an experience shared by many, if not all, and that it's going on at this very moment. You're not alone. So you have compassion for everybody and connect with the suffering of everybody. And when you send out the breath, you're sending it out not just to yourself, but to everybody. Sometimes I will change just the pronoun, and then it helps. I start by saying, "I'm afraid and alone. I'm here step by step." But then I'll start to say, "We're here and alone. All of us. We're here and alone. We're here step by step. We're afraid and alone. We're here step by step. We're afraid and alone. We're here step by step." So I'd like to try a session of formal Tonglen, and I'd like to invite you to take a meditation posture, however you normally do that. To remember to get comfortable with the ground underneath you. To remember that you are part of this magnetic pull. You might want to use some reminder about the parts of your body, maybe the six points of posture, seat, legs, torso, hands, eyes, mouth. Seat, legs, torso, hands, eyes, mouth. Now identify some feeling that you are dealing with right now. Identify the texture of your feeling. Oops, I almost forgot. Would you flash absolute bodhicitta with me? Dark, heavy, hot. Bright, light, cool. Dark, heavy, hot. Bright, light, cool. Begin to create a mantra for the texture of your dark, heavy, hot. What's going on? Breathe it in. Make friends with it. be very curious about this feeling. Unlayer it. Where is the feeling in your body? Dark, heavy, hot. What would resolve it? Bright, light, cool. Dark, heavy, hot. Bright, light, cool. Be with your mantra. Would anybody like to share what your experience was?
So I started having discontent about going to work today, and then I started thinking, and I started looking at it, and then I started getting pissed off at this music, and then I just kept breathing, recognizing it, and then I surrendered, and then it was like kind of much easier as I surrendered.
Did you experiment with the mantra, by the way?
I did.
Would you like to share?
Yeah, it was like... I was almost breathing in like powers beyond me or trying to make me do something and then breathing out. I really can't remember what I was doing, but that's pretty the basic part of it. Yeah. So just surrendering and just like lifting everything. And it had to do with ego too. There's a lot of ego in it.
Did it help?
Yeah, it did.
Great.
It did. Especially the part about making friends with it.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to share? Great.
So for me, it was my multi-decade psychosomatically based sleep problems. And I felt tired, like I didn't sleep well last night. And this produces both worry and some physical distress. And doing this reduced the worry and left me feeling, noticing more positive feelings. And I've done a little Tonglin before, and I've noticed that while one would think that taking in, and this is more about others, taking in bad feelings and sending out good feelings would leave me feeling depleted and worse, but it actually doesn't work like that. It's sort of like, in simple terms, I would say what lingers is the good feelings, or if I wanted to describe it in more spiritual terms, I am part of the all, so it's really giving it to myself. So anyhow, it was helpful.
Did you try to create a mantra? Can you?
I did. I was doing basically the dark, heavy heart.
Yeah, light. Right. So. I fall back on that sometimes, too. Yeah. Yes?
For me, I felt loneliness and stress. And it helped to attach, it helped to feel, I thought of all the people that have that. And that I know of immediately. I come to mind and have loneliness and stress, instead of feeling that come in, created a unity, and then to put out there, we can do it, you know, and we're doing it, or we'll be okay, I mean, we're together. But the mantra, I just used the mantra, the hot heavy.
Sure. Yes.
Well, when you said there was a feeling, I noticed I was sad, and it was, you know, an area of my heart. And then, so what developed was unloved and ashamed, and whole and complete.
Mm-hmm.
And that became my mantra. But a question, the form of this and this, mm-hmm. is that part of the form of comment?
No, not necessarily. That's what I just came up with myself. I think because I discovered rhythms when I started doing that with the word and. So if I would have, like for me, my mantra during this time was perfect or perish, falling no ground. So there's a certain rhythm. It's not necessarily, I didn't use an and there, did I? Perfect, comma, no perish, falling, comma, no ground. So there's a bit of artistry about the mantra that you create. You create a rhythm that goes with your breath. Yeah? Anybody else like to say anything? Sure, anything? Yes?
I find it very helpful to flash on the sky. I've been fascinated with cloudscapes in the sky and the fathomless display in the sky. So that's really helpful for me for flashing bodhicitta initially. And then in terms of the dark heaviness, I was breathing in how inadequately I feel about solving whatever issues may arise in my life. And then breathing out a sense of contentment and brilliance that is that's all, that completeness that's always there, and then expanding that out to greater situations. And then I'm in town from San Diego because my cousin just died, and so I was then I applied the Tonglen practice to my connection with him, and was breathing in his pain and heavy heart in dealing with his passing, and then sending him confidence and joy in dealing with his breathing, rebirthing process.
How did it feel after 5 minutes of doing that?
Excuse me?
How did it feel after 5 minutes of doing that practice?
It feels powerful. A sense of being, you know, beyond myself in some sense of
thank you. So the last thing that I wanted to say is that, as you know, your emotions will not wait until you have a formal set. And that probably is the reason why Tonglen on the spot is in some ways more useful than Tonglen on the cushion. So this is something that I practice every time I notice that I'm not being present with myself, that I'm experiencing some claustrophobia, that I've got something in the pit of my stomach, that I don't like the environment that I'm in, that I'm having some reaction to the person I'm with. So I go into looking for what is the feeling I'm having right now, and what is the Tonglen mantra that I need to create for this moment. And I find myself going through the day creating a new mantra here, or creating a new mantra here, creating a new mantra there. And it has been a beautiful experience for me. So I'm going to close with giving you some examples of on-the-spot Tonglen. So if I have a run-in with somebody, I mean, they've really hurt my feelings, I have found it helpful to use the Tonglen abused and abusing. I'm here, step by step. And I do that until I have relief. Abused and abusing, acknowledging that not only was I abused, but you know, at any moment I'm abusing somebody else. So it's not personal. It's universal. Abused and abusing. I'm here, step by step. I use that one after bad dreams too, by the way. When things feel chaotic, I often say unknown and unknowing. Falling no ground. Unknown and unknowing. Falling no... It is such a relief to own it that I don't know what's going on in the midst of chaos. Unknown and unknowing. Falling no ground. When stuck in fear, live and die in fear. Wake up and face life directly. Those are the choices. We live and die in fear. or we wake up and face life directly. Live and die in fear, wake up and face life directly. Better than others. Good enough, step by step. Better than others, good enough, step by step. And when I'm afraid to speak in public, afraid and alone, warm faces together. So that's it. It's an open field of inquiry for me. I'd like to ask if there are any other general questions about Tonglen.
Actually, we are out of time. Yeah, but you're going to be here for the half hour, aren't you?
I absolutely will.
Great.
Do we have time to end with one short poem?
Sure, why not?
Okay. So this, to me, captures the point of Tonglen. It's a poem called Bugs in a Bowl. Han Shan, that great and crazy wonder-filled Chinese poet of 1,000 years ago, said, "We're just like bugs in a bowl, all day going around, never leaving their bowl." I say, "That's right. Every day, climbing up the steep sides, sliding back over and over again, around and around, up and back down. Sit in the bottom of the bowl, head in your hands, cry, moan, feel sorry for yourself. Or look around, see your fellow bugs, say, 'Hey, how you doing?' Say, 'Nice bowl.'"
Okay, so let's do this a little quickly. Our speaker next week is John Draca, who has been here before, and she's led our retreats in the fall. She's really wonderful. She's also a stand-up comic and a Buddhist monk, and really wonderful. If you've never experienced her, you definitely have to come. And one more announcement from me is the Donna Bowl, which we'll be passing around during the social hour. The suggested donation is $10, but whatever you can give is greatly appreciated, and that helps to cover the rent, our newsletter, speakers, the Larkin Street dinners, and mail, and all the other things that GBL does. So that would be greatly appreciated. Can we hear from our host?
Yeah, I'm the host today, so stay and enjoy the sangha. I'll be coming around with a nice bowl, and you're welcome to contribute whatever you feel good to do. There are some vegan cookies and fresh fruit. There's some hot water for tea. If you have tea, please wash your cup with hot soapy water. There's a sign-up sheet for people who are new to our group over on the Cadenza. And at 12:30, some people get together to go to lunch. They gather at the front door, and if anybody's welcome to join.
Any other announcements? Okay, let's stand for the dedication of marriage, please.
By the power and truth of this practice, may all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all be free from sorrow and the causes of sorrow. May all never be separated from the sacred happiness which is without sorrow, and may all live in equanimity, without too much attachment or too much aversion, believing in the equality of all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Gay Buddhist Forum. If you would like to hear several new talks per month and be notified of upcoming speakers, so you can participate live, please subscribe to this podcast, like us on Facebook, and join our mailing list by visiting gaybuddhist.org.